Greetings, glorious beings. I'm Paulette, your host of Thriving in Chaos, the podcast. I'm thrilled to introduce you to sparkling examples of inspiring, powerful, wise, and trailblazing women. I've curated experts in their fields to help us all listen, learn, and grow towards all the possibilities of living your best life. As a certified divorce coach, I regularly witness a range of deep emotions. What those emotions have taught me is all we really need to support our sisters is to share our knowledge and loving kindness. Please subscribe, and thank you for sharing the love by tuning in. Now, let's thrive in the chaos. Hello, and welcome to Thriving in Chaos. Today's guest is Rosalind Sadaka. She is a certified divorce coach and the voice of child-centered divorce. Divorce and co-parenting coaching is her specialty, and I am graced by her presence. She really is a true expert in the field of parenting during and after the divorce process. So welcome to the show, Rosalind.
It's a pleasure to be with you today. Thank you.
My pleasure. We met last March at the National Association of Divorce Professionals Conference, where Rosalind, if I recall correctly, was a guest panel expert, and her words of wisdom and clarity really, they hit a soft spot in me, and we connected immediately when we started to share our stories of divorce and the divorce process and just how impactful divorce is on children. So I invited her today to really shed some light on maybe even the biggest mistakes parents make and a little bit of the emotional roller coaster that tugs at everyone's hearts and clouds our thinking, and how to best approach and process the entire journey of how to go about parenting through the divorce process with grace. So I do want to also point out that she is the author of How Do I Tell the Children About Divorce? So could we start, Rosalind, a little bit with about what made you write that book and maybe a little bit about your insight and your own personal story that gave you the skills to be able to write a book like that?
Thank you. I'm happy to share that story. I had no idea that, like most people, that divorce would be part of my life. But I was in a very unhappy marriage for many, many years and struggled to get out of it because of guilt and shame and fears and anxiety, especially about harming my son, who was 11 years old at the time when I finally got the courage to make that decision. And it was the toughest decision I made in my life. And then I was faced with, now what? What do I do to co-parent effectively and to make sure I'm not scarring my son? And the first major obstacle was, how do I break the divorce news to him? Because he was very close to both his father and to me. And I knew this was going to be a really tough conversation, as it is for most families. And I was up for weeks of sleepless nights, tossing and turning about how best to approach it. And finally, literally at 2 o'clock one morning, I came up with an idea and I jotted it down and I followed through, and it turned out to be a very unique and successful approach to breaking the divorce news to my son. And then I went about learning how to co-parent in a way that wasn't going to scar him and harm him and to allow him to continue his childhood as unscathed as possible. And what's most gratifying for me is that 10 years later, when he was in his early 20s, he came to me one day out of the blue and he said, "You know, Ma, you and Daddy did a really good job with your divorce, because most of my friends whose parents got divorced either hate their parents or are very angry at them. And I think you guys were just great." And I just let out a sigh of such deep relief, because I was holding on to so much guilt for more than a decade. It was the turning point in my life when I realized that there were things that I knew that I could share with other people, starting with that breaking the divorce news process, and then talking about how to get through the co-parenting in the best possible way for your child. And so it was 12 or 13 years later that I founded the Child Center Divorce Network, became a divorce and co-parenting coach, wrote How Do I Tell the Kids About the Divorce, and really moved into this arena as my life's passion.
Beautiful. Well, I do wish I could turn back the hands of times with my own divorce, a certified divorce coach, because through my own 8.5 year journey, I too always had that feeling of trepidation and fear of what do we tell them? What do we not tell them? What's too much information? What's not enough information? And what is appropriate at certain ages? Because what you would tell a 2-year-old certainly is not what you call it would tell a 20-year-old. And of course, there's gradients at every step of the way between the toddler and the adult. So yeah, it's there isn't a formula based on know, and this is what they shouldn't know. And but the fact that your son came to you, you know, many years later without being prompted, it's, I can imagine the joy that you felt in your heart having that conversation.
Oh, totally. And he has since attended some divorce conferences at which I've spoken and been in the on stage with me to take questions afterwards. And that is a very surprising experience, very rewarding experience, and very valuable for the audience members as well.
Right. So Rosalind, how do you go about advising someone that's just at maybe the beginning of this journey that hasn't even had the conversation with their spouse yet, or they're just feeling uncomfortable about the marriage or something's going wrong in there? And that's a whole nother podcast. But when you start to get the conversation internally and you start to feel like, maybe something's wrong here, when is it ever a good time to, or how is it ever appropriate to have a conversation with a child, not of a particular age, but how do you go about coaching and giving advice to parents about their fears about what to say or what not to say?
Yeah, that really is such an important question. And what we have to do is remember that every decision we make is impacting our children in a positive or negative way. And so we have to stop and be mindful and really think about our decisions, because too often we are amassed in emotions and feelings and hurt and guilt and anger and resentment and shame and blame and a whole array of emotions.
Well, you hit most of them really well.
Yes, I know them well, and we get consumed with them. And what happens is that they start running us. And that's the biggest caution I want to make for parents, is for people to understand that we can't let our emotions run us. We have to find a way of capturing a connection with our ex or soon to be ex. Because if you're divorcing without children, it doesn't matter what the drama is. Ultimately, there's going to be a signed divorce paper and you're out of it. But when you have children, it's not that simple. Mm. It's very complex and it's lifelong, because the other parent is part of your child's life and you can't just dismiss them. And so you have to find a common ground, especially if the two of you are in agreement that you want to be co-parenting, which is always the best thing for the children. Children need and love both parents, and except for really very negative, dangerous situations, you don't want to be eliminating one parent from their lives, especially if it's just because you don't like that parent or don't respect that parent. So you want to find a way to co-parent, and the bottom line is, the one area that you have that should be of mutual agreement is you both love that child. Mm. So you have to start there. We both agree that we love that child. We don't want to hurt the child. We want to do what's in his and her best interest. And so what can we do that's going to support that child through the age they are now, as they get older and older and older, because their needs and their awareness and sophistication is going to change mm-hmm. as they grow.
Right.
So it's a process. And what we want to do is remind parents that there are certain dreadful mistakes that are too easy to make that cause most of the damage. And I start by telling parents, it's not the divorce per se that harms or scars children. It's how parents approach the divorce that does the damage.
Mm. I couldn't agree with you more, especially when you can push aside the, as you say, whether, you know, you dislike or disrespect them, that person is always going to be a part of the child's life. And you got to manage to find a way to find a meeting of the minds or coming to terms with making decisions that are in alignment or harmony with the child's best interest. But where do you find that the commonalities of parent alienation stem from? And how, what is the definition of parent alienation as you know it as an expert, and how common is it?
Well, parental alienation is the ultimate negative side of divorce gone wrong. It couldn't go further off track when one parent feels justified and so self-righteous that they feel they have the right to keep their child from their other parent and to keep the other parent from their child. There's a combination of many, many powerful, strong emotions that go together. And usually there's a lot of anger and hatred and resentment that move and make a parent feel that they have the right to do this. It's usually never the right thing to do, even if you have a parent who is a bad influence and who is a negative influence in the child's life. There can be ways through having access to professionals so that the visitation periods are managed and watched and controlled if you're dealing with a really toxic relationship. But in most cases, it's one parent who decides that this is toxic for my children, and they're not necessarily in alignment with the psychological community and the legal community, and that's where it really goes off the rails. So mm-hmm. when one parent makes that determination and then either insists or slowly manipulates their children into believing that the other parent is bad, wrong, harmful, evil, not caring about you, and says and does things to keep the distance growing further and further apart, so that some children grow up without having any experience of their parent because maybe the divorce took place when they were three or something, and that's the only time they've had the last experience. And in other cases, it's just a very rare or occasional connection, a card over a holiday or something. So what we all try to do is let parents know that your children are going to grow up. As much as it's difficult to understand now, if you have a 2-year-old or even a 12-year-old, they're going to grow to adults, and they're going to hold you accountable for how you behaved during and after your divorce. And there are many children who are very angry at their parents because they realize that they were manipulated, they were controlled, they were lied to, they were handled in ways that is very disrespectful to the child. And so in many cases, the alienated parent is really, the tables turn on them later on. In other cases, the damage is done so strongly that the one parent has no connection with the other parent forevermore. And it's such a sad situation because it isn't fair to the children, and their childhood has been impacted by this. So what we try to do, obviously, is keep that as far from happening as possible and try to remind the parents that the children have the right to access to both of their parents, and that the child, as he grows older and older, can make a determination about how they feel about the time they're spending with both parents.
Right. So do you find that that reminder is the gentle nudge that is needed for, shall we say, maybe the obstinate parent to come back to a ground zero or a regrouping of that? You're right. That child does deserve to have a relationship with both parents of their own liking.
Let's put it this way. There are some parents who are so determined to do what they're going to do. No one is going to influence them in any way. And they're far beyond my ability to change their decision. Someone has to be open, willing, and receptive to even listening to what I'm talking about, because my message is very emotional and very psychological. And some people don't want to be impacted by that. Mm-hmm. However, I do believe the earlier on we talk to families and parents, the earlier on we remind them that this is their children's childhood that's being impacted, and that the divorce doesn't have to have a negative impact on the kids if the parents work together to put the children's needs first, not their own. It's not an ego game. It's about being parents and raising your children. Those parents can maybe be tempted to move in other directions, but when they hear this message, they can stop in their tracks and say, wow, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't be doing that. Maybe this is wrong. And those are the parents with whom I can work, because they're open and receptive to understanding. One needs a good capacity for empathy, which is putting yourself in the other person's shoes, seeing the world through your child's eyes. That helps you to know that you're making a wise decision on their behalf. When you're stuck in seeing the world only through your own perspective, and you're caught up in your anger and your self-righteousness, you're not as likely to change or to move in any direction, because you're more interested in hurting the other parent than you are in doing what's best for your children.
Right.
So the primary question that I and so many other divorce professionals ask their clients is this: do you love your children more than you may hate or dislike your ex? It's as simple as that. Do you love your children more than you hate or dislike your ex? If you could say yes, and we certainly hope that parents are going to realize that they have to say yes to this question, then you're going to make saner, sounder decisions. If you can't say yes to that question, then you are already off the rails in another place when you're admitting you're not caring about the well-being of your children, and you're caring more about your anger. And that's so sad, because we see it in headlines every day. Mm-hmm. But you and I are here to try to help people understand the consequences when they don't make the right decision on behalf of their children.
Absolutely, Rosalind. I see with clients and with my own experience too, of that you're really leaving an impact. And there's an ability that you can make a change or shift or adjust that stubbornness, or, you know, putting their feet in the sand and like not wanting to budge, right? They're just stuck. Mm-hmm. And just gently opening their eyes to seeing that different perspective. And empathy is, of course, the key word of, do you in fact love your children more than you dislike or hate your ex-spouse? And what a powerful question to be able to ask a parent that is struggling with parenting, co-parenting, alimony and child support, and, you know, sports and who gets to take them to the doctor, and, you know, all the
yes.
I don't want to call them silly decisions, because at the moment they are not silly, but when you really look back at them years later, who, you know, who took them to the dentist and who picked them up, and, you know, what age they get braces and all those, very like, they're really not huge decisions in the grand scheme of a child's life. But at the moment, man, it's digging in their heels, and, you know, it's my way or the highway, and you're going to do what I say. And the kid is, I just have this visualization of the kid in the parking lot with mom with the right arm and dad with the left
arm. Yes.
pulling at the child. And yes. even though they may not literally be grabbing their arms and ripping them apart, emotionally they are. And whether it be the text messages and the nasty emails and the social media comments and the phone calls and the gossip and the dirty looks and the, you know, it all comes back to hearsay. And eventually, as you beautifully put it, comes back to bite you. You ask yourself, was any of this necessary? I always have to remind the clients that I work with, like, I want you to look back at this 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years with pride and grace, not regret. And, oh my Lord, what the hell was I thinking?
I love that.
Because we're human, right? I mean, get to the back of the line when we have to look at the mistakes we made and realize, like, really, what was I thinking? But when you can stop and have a rational conversation with an adult who's an expert, such as yourself, to be able to look at the black and white of it and really look at the outcome and the impact that will forever make some sort of impression on them. And a lot of kids are resilient. I do see kids bouncing back and surviving quite well, but then there are others that don't survive quite as, they're not as resilient, right?
Yes, and parents aren't as perceptive. Let me just add one question to this while you brought up so much of the minutiae of parenting. Parenting is a process, especially those first 20 years, and endless, endless decisions and challenges and issues that even the best, most happy parents are dealing with. It can be overwhelming. And there's a wonderful question I also give to my clients to remind them about whether they're doing things in the best possible way. Mm. Ask yourself, would I be making the same parenting decision if we were still married? Would I be making the same parenting decision if we were still married? Mm. So things come up about the braces and about discipline and about summer camp and about thousands of other things from week to week to week. And if you could say, if we were still married, would this be an issue? Would I have a problem with it? Would this be something that I would be changing my opinion on? Or am I just doing it because I know I can hurt my ex? I could give a little nudge. I could twist their arm. I could create pain. Then you know you're doing something for the wrong reasons. Mm.
And that's a great one.
This is really about parenting. And divorce doesn't change the fact that your kids need to be parented. They still need discipline. They still need the issue of who's going to tell them this and that and break the news, and who's going to be the one to play the bad cop and the good cop and all the other things that happen in the day-to-day reality of parenting. And if you have a co-parent that you could talk to who is being a parent with you, it's an entirely different process. Then it's the challenges that everyone faces being a parent. Parenting is hard enough even when you're in a wonderful relationship. Mm. When you're in a co-parenting relationship, you have these layers and nuances, and this is the time to really think it through and use that lens of, would I still be making the same decision? Or is my ego getting involved? Or am I trying to hurt my ex in some way? If you are, then your kids are not getting what they deserve.
Right. Can you tell us a little bit more? You started hinting a little bit about the mistakes or the common mistakes that parents will make. What are the most common ones that you see time and time again repetitively?
Yes. The biggest one is fighting around the kids. That means in the same room, within earshot, on the phone, in the next room. It doesn't matter. If the kids can hear it and know what's happening, it emotionally scars and changes kids. It hurts them deeply because they're connected to both parents. And I think most every mental health counselor on the planet will agree about this. Studies have proven it. Fighting around the kids, even in an intact marriage, is damaging for them. Keep your kids away from that.
Right.
Another huge and related issue is trying to ask your kids to take sides with mom or dad. Your kids love both parents. They don't want to be in a position where they have to be taking sides and giving their opinions because they know they're going to hurt one parent or the other. So connected to that and equally important is not asking your child to be a messenger for you to their other parent or to be a spy for you. It's so tempting to start asking about dad's girlfriend or what mom said at the restaurant the other night. And we all want to have gentle conversations with our kids about the things we did. But there's a fine line in which we're intruding and we're harming our children because we're putting them in a position. Dad said, don't let mom know we had pizza two nights in a row. And then mom's asking about what you ate. And the child is forced to either lie or defend one parent against the other. We have to think about the children and the position we're putting them in. So spying, using them as messengers, fighting around them, asking them to take sides in making decisions are all definite no-nos that are very damaging. Mm-hmm. Lying to them as well. When you're intentionally lying and manipulating and changing circumstances so that you look good and your ex is put in a different light. Also bad-mouthing your ex in any way. So talking to the kids, and we do this in so many subtle ways, Paulette, it's so easy to subtly malign and denigrate the other parent in conversation.
Right, to slip into an old pattern of, oh, well, your mother exactly. always says this and your dad always does
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Or you're just like your mother when you say things like that. And I can hear the lies coming up. Did she tell you that? There's a thousand ways that we do that. And again, we harm our children emotionally and psychologically.
And it seems innocent at the time sometimes. Yes. I mean, my parents were still married and, I remember them not really realizing when, you know, my parents would say something, not even necessarily negative about a behavior or a habit or a personality trait or your mother tells that story a million times or, oh God, here we go again with the mm-hmm. rolling of the eyes. And
exactly.
It isn't anything malicious or, incredibly, evil. But it certainly leaves an imprint as a kid. And I can imagine what it does when the parents are getting divorced. I myself many times would say, and this is the trap I would fall into of just not even necessarily calling it a secret, but, you know, this will just be what we do. And don't tell your brothers or sisters or dad or what we did. Yes. And at the time it seemed pretty innocent. I use let's use the pizza example, right? Or we'll go out and have, you know, pizza for breakfast or ice cream for breakfast mm-hmm. or something that isn't bad, but it really starts a pattern of that. Well, if it's okay to keep a secret about ice cream, then it's okay to stretch it and stretch it and stretch it even further. And before you know it, you've got all kinds of triangulation and A and B don't know what C's doing. And we'll just keep our own little version of what really happened so that we yes. don't get in trouble. And it all seems so darn innocent at the time, but it blows up.
It certainly does. Can I add one more very important no-no?
Yes.
Such an important mistake to avoid, and that's creating your child as a confidant. Mm-hmm. It's very tempting, especially when one parent isn't in the house, to say to your son, you're mommy's big boy now, and suddenly start talking about things that are not adult conversation with your children. We do this in some way to subtly alienate them from the other parent. We do this to vent our frustrations and our angers and our fears. And we should be taking those experiences to our friends and professionals who can help us, because there's no doubt there's a lot of difficult emotions that we're going through. But don't let your child be your confidant, because once you do, you rob them of their childhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That child is no longer a child. They're a little adult with awareness about adult issues that they should never be privy to. If you want to sit your child down at age 25 and say, this is the truth about what happened and your father was fooling around and your mother's drinks too much and get into it at that point, that's one thing. But not with a child, because it scars them from the moment you hear that, they hear that information. They are no longer children. They are trying to fix the issue, trying to take care of mom or dad. Their position is not to emotionally be there for you. It's for you to be emotionally there for them.
Beautifully said. So, Rosalind, at what age, if there's ever a correct age, and you hinted at 25, but let's say you do happen to have one of those, you know, button-pushing children that grows up to be a more of a provocative adult and is curious, at what age is it ever appropriate to really discuss any nitty-gritty topics during the divorce?
Well, studies have shown that teens really don't develop emotionally until they're in their mid-20s. Mm-hmm. So there are children who are much more precocious and much more emotionally and psychologically attuned to the nature of what's been happening in their lives, and also depending on when the divorce took place. So it's not an age as much as a stage or a mindset when you feel you could talk to your child on a more adult level, and that you could do it as an adult without trying to influence them and let your own agenda show through, then you could talk and explain, this is why I felt I needed to have the divorce. But until then, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, this divorce is about adult issues between mom and dad. We were adults. It's very difficult for children to understand the issues and the nuances and the subtleties of what happened in our life over the years. And so how and why we got divorced isn't the issue for you. The most important thing for you to remember is that we both love you and cherish you and want to do what's best for you. And that's very important for children to hear from the youngest age, and to remind them that they were no fault. They were never to blame for the divorce. Very often a divorce will take place because of children. You have parenting challenges that are very difficult, and you finally give up because you do not co-parent the same way. So the divorce takes place. Children can very easily believe that the divorce is their fault. If the behavior problems weren't taking place, if they got better grades in school, if they didn't do certain things, maybe mom and dad wouldn't have gotten the divorce. But that's never the case. The divorce is about two adults who couldn't resolve their issues and decided to move out of that marital situation. Kids need to know that it's never their fault. Mm-hmm. The divorce is about the children, and they need to know that they're innocent, that this is an adult issue that has nothing to do with them, because children will innately hold on to that blame. They're not going to share it with you, but it influences the way they feel about themselves, their self-esteem, their self-confidence, and walking around scarred does damage in their getting a healthy future relationship.
But you could see naturally how a child that grows up in a divorced, you know, situation, or is going through mom and dad divorcing, and probably has at least half of their friends going through or have mm-hmm. divorce situations, because let's face it, right? That's commonplace. So mm-hmm. you could see how children growing up with the propensity for that situation to be normal, natural, to feel, well, if most parents have, or, you know, most of my friends are have divorced or divorcing parents, and they're fighting about the kids, and my parents are fighting about the kids, then it must be our fault, because most people that get divorced have kids, and then we must all be to blame. It's the kids' fault. It's a natural kind of feeling for a child to think like, maybe if I had not talked back or ate my carrots or got better grades, that mom and dad would still be together.
Exactly. It's very common. It's very natural. Children will blame themselves for a lot of the problems in their lives because it's the only way their minds go. And children are innately narcissistic, but not in an unhealthy way. It's just that's what it is to be a child, and your world is all about you. So we have to understand that. And that's why right from the beginning, we want to tell our children, this is in no way your fault. Even if mom and dad have been fighting about you, it's not because it's your fault. It's because mom and dad have disagreements that we just can't seem to find a clear way to agree on. And so we're going to move on into two separate households. So life will be calmer and simpler and more peaceful for everyone involved. But that is such a natural way for children to feel. And if the adults don't address it, then that can be the beginning of a very sad future for the children who have low self-esteem and have taken on the responsibility of believing that their behavior created their parents' divorce. Mm. What a huge
burden
to be carrying on their little shoulders.
Yeah.
Even teens.
Right. I'd like to shift gears a tiny bit here about your book, How Do I Tell the Children About the Divorce? Now, I remember you telling me in our conversation we had last spring about the way in which you did, in fact, tell your son. So can you share us a little bit about this dream that you had at midnight or the middle of the night and how that manifested into something really beautiful?
Yes. What I did is realize that children have very little sense of the past beyond their own realization of themselves. And so the concept that mom and dad were young and single and got married and had a life before they were born, or there were other siblings born before they were born and different things happened, that there's a past, that right now there's a present, and there's going to be a future. It's very important for children to understand that concept, that there's going to be a future, because maybe life at home is not happy now. Maybe there's tension and sadness and depression around them, but we want to make sure children have a future that's bright. So what I did is took family photos from before mom and dad, before my son was born, when mom and dad got married and we spent vacation time together and did things. And then the early years when my son was born and all the memories of birthdays and holidays and vacations. And I put that into a photo album. And then I added the text. And the text talks about the fact that mom and dad are aware that life has not been as happy as it used to be for us. And we're very sad about that. And we realize that mom and dad would both be happier when they're spending time with you if we were living in two separate houses, because that's where a lot of the tension has been when we've been living at home. And so that's why we're getting a divorce. The divorce is not the end of our family. It's about a change in the form of our family. So we are a family with two homes, and the time you spend with mom is going to be happier time. The time you spend with dad will be happier times. Sometimes, hopefully, we could spend some time together as a family. But most important of all is that the future is going to get happier and brighter for us. And I put that down in age-appropriate language. My son was 11, so I wrote it in a language for him. I afterwards decided that I could do the same thing for children who are younger and older. So I have created age-appropriate templates for children from 5 to 15 that parents can customize. So they have a script that's already written for them with some customized information about our family and how many children are in our family and some information about where we live and who we are. And the rest of there's six key messages that I share with the children in this storybook. So the parents cut and paste the text along with the family photos and put it in the storybook. And the storybook lets them know that life is going to be happier ahead, that mom and dad are working on making sure that life is going to be happier ahead, and that we have a future. And with this photo album storybook, the parents use it at the time of having this really tough conversation so that the children can read it with them, ask questions, cry, vent, express their feelings. And the storybook is available for the days, weeks, and months to follow, so they could read it again and again and again and get the six key messages that's most important for them to understand. And the parents don't forget it because it's a script that's already written for them, so they don't have to hem and haw and stammer about did I forget to say this? Did I say too much about that? Mom and Dad have already agreed beforehand about the script. The script is very benign because it never talks about blame. It only talks about the responsibility we have and how much we love our children. And so it gives children a positive message that the divorce is not the end of the world. It's the beginning of a new phase, a new chapter in our family life. Some children even bring the storybook from home to home and add pictures and more information to it because it's a living, breathing, organic process for them.
It's brilliant. I'm so glad you're sharing this. And right, everybody? Is that brilliant? I really wish I could rewind the clock 10 years and have your book. What year did you come out with this? It's been a while, right?
Oh yes, it's been a while. I think it was in 2005, actually, that I wrote it based on the book that I used in the 90s for my own divorce. So right. This has definitely been a process.
So you took what you created organically with your own setting and your own child and your own divorce and then, you know, kind of let it happen exactly as you said, organically. And then finally, 2005, you said, okay, I'm going to write this thing and get it out into the hands of people that need it.
Yes. And that's why it's an ebook, because it's customized to fit every family. Otherwise, there would be fill in the blanks about things and it wouldn't look personal and customized. So parents will download the text, customize it, and then print it out. And this is a story about us and our family with our names in it and pictures of us. And children can relate because there's nothing they like more than seeing pictures of themselves and their families. So it immediately engages them in the conversation. And then they're feeling supported by the six key messages that remind them of what's taking place now. And so the process that starts the connection of the divorce to the children is one that's positive with both parents there saying things that are supportive. And it puts everyone on the right track for moving ahead. And then when you're using your divorce professionals, your mediators, your attorneys, that you're already starting in a much better, healthier place than people who haven't started that way.
Beautiful. I have another little surprise, everyone. You probably could tell that Rosalind is quite passionate about co-parenting and child-centered divorce, but she's also quite the expert on dating after 40. So she has a podcast, Divorce, Dating, and Empowered Living radio show podcast of her own. She also is the author of 99 Things Women Wish They Knew Before Dating After 40, 50, and yes, 60. So for those of you out there that are already divorced and are, a little bit cautious or unsure about how to date after 40, how to date after divorce, she's a great resource. So check out her book and her podcast. So anything you want to add about life after divorce?
Well, that's an entire world. It's so important because dating after divorce with children is totally different than just dating after divorce. You have to keep the well-being of your children in mind. And you have to make sure that your children never feel they're competing with another love interest. The romantic relationship love is so different from the parent-child love. There should never be a conflict. But when it's handled wrong, some children feel that the parents are putting the other new person in their lives ahead of them. And that's a terrible feeling for any child. And so you want to make sure that you don't introduce your children to random partners until you're really talking to someone who is a serious contender for a serious long-term relationship. And you want to make sure that your parent, your child's other parent, your ex, is not feeling that they're being replaced, because that's when you create more tension. So no one is replacing mom or dad. It's just that there's a new partner in my life who makes me very happy. So there's a mindset to follow and a way to approach it. And then you want to make sure you learned lessons from your divorce, because if you move on in dating after divorce and didn't take any insights and just point your finger and blame your ex for all the problems, then you're bound to repeat the old patterns and get in the same place again. And that's why there's such a repetition of divorce number 2, 3, and 4, because people don't take the time to learn the lessons. Do that, and then you're going to find a partner who's much more appropriate and a relationship that's much more fulfilling for you.
Right. I couldn't agree. I'm shaking my head as you're talking. It's like taking full responsibility for your end of the relationship and your end of the divorce. Because if you don't, you're going to just drag that baggage along with you. And hence, just what you said, divorce number 2, divorce number 3, divorce number 4, or as I like to call it with clients, the revolving door new relationship syndrome. Like, okay, well, I'm on to, you know, which app and how many new boyfriends or girlfriends. And it is difficult when now I'm remarried and being a step parent. It's very challenging here and there to not co-parent or to over-parent or under-parent. I mean, they're all adults now, so it's different. But you have your opinion naturally, and you want to be supportive, but you have to bite your tongue and realize that that child already has a mother or a father, and you don't want to overstep that. Now, when they come to you and ask you, it's a little bit different, but it's a tricky whole new world of now it's a blended family of being a step parent. So if you're not ready to take on added responsibility of not only continuing to be a parent, but now you're a step parent and maybe even a grandparent and other things come down the road, then dating isn't you've got to take responsibility for your end, your portion, or your part that you played in the failure of the marriage.
Totally. And if I could just add a reminder that as parents, we have to remember that we are role models for our children 24 hours a day. It's an awesome responsibility, but it's true. And even when they're adults. So how are you role modeling relationship behavior for your children? Because they're learning from what you're doing. Are you being mature and responsible in the partners you're picking? Are you letting yourself be abused or maligned or dealing with people who are not respecting you or respecting your children? Are you choosing people who are really improper fits for you and creating a lot of stress and chaos in your family life? And how are you showing your children you handle challenges and issues? Divorce is a wonderful way of stepping up in your parenting and showing them how you can be responsible as a mature adult and make co-parenting decisions. Mm. Your dating decisions are equally important. Who you're choosing, why you're choosing, and what you're bringing into your child's life is really reflective of so much about you. So think, reach out for support from a professional, take advantage of some of the e-courses and programs available. Get the help you need so that you can be a person with high self-esteem and make responsible, mature decisions every step of the way.
Beautifully said. And what is the best way for people out there listening in podcast land to find you if they have questions? They either want to work with you as a parenting expert coach, a dating after 40, after divorce coach, or just follow you. What's the best way for them to be able to do that?
Well, thank you for that. You could reach me at childcenteredivorce.com/book. To get my free ebook on co-parenting success strategies. So that would be a great beginning. And you can also go to womendatingafter40.com to get my free ebook on dating after divorce, which is filled with answers to some of the most asked questions. If you want to contact me directly, Rosalind, Rosalind, at childcenteredivorce.com will get to me by email, and I'll be happy to answer. And yes, I do personal coaching for divorce and dating, as well as have programs and courses and e-courses and e-books on all of these topics. So if you go to the websites, you will find lots of information available to you.
Perfect. And everyone listening out there, if you know of anybody who is just at the beginning of that horrible conversation, that internal conversation of how do we go about telling the children. Get that book, even if you don't have kids, and share it with people that you know that are struggling, because it will make a very, very big difference in not only the lives of the parents and the family, but the kids and maybe their kids and their kids, because it will leave a lasting impression on them. So thank
can
you.
Can I just add that How Do I Tell the Kids About the Divorce is available at childcenteredivorce.com.
Perfect. Love it. Thank you, Rosalind. You are such a bright light in a very deep, intense, emotional topic. And I will always remember listening to you and that expert panel and knew that you were making a huge difference in changing the lives of so many people and really making an impact in changing the stigma of divorce.
Thank you so much, Paulette. I really appreciate that.
My pleasure. Thank you, everyone. I hope you enjoyed her as well as I did. Whew, wow, I get little goosebumps just listening to her wisdom just like ooze out of her pores. If you can just tell, she knows what she's talking about. So listen up and, you know, keep thriving in the chaos.